And Father, thank you so much for this time as we direct our attention to your word, written to us through inspiration given to the apostles, so that we can be instructed and that we can be guided and given wisdom as we live this life in this world. Thank you so much that it is without error, and that you have given it to us to inspire us and to give us just a little bit of a view of your heart and who you are. Lord, we pray now as we look into your word, as we look into these things that you have given me, and I want to pass on to everyone else. Lord, use my mind, use my mouth as your tools to enlighten, to bring understanding. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Christmas time is a great time of year, and we're going to talk about it till Christmas. And, you know, it's just one of those times of year that everybody is different. Everybody's a little different. Kind of brings out a little more love. Now, not in all cases, you know, we heard about the thing in California and all that. And, you know, but it brings a reaction. It does bring a reaction. Christmas is something you can't really avoid, as much as it's been tried to change, you know, or people have tried to change it. It just isn't going to happen. And so we're going to have a lot of food here. We're going to have a lot of things going on, programs and special music, and Christmas Eve there's going to be a program. And, you know, what do we do all this for? Why do we get calendars? Why do we feed everybody and we don't charge anything? We're not doing like, you know, you go to some of the fairs or some of the places that you might go to, and, you know, it's so much for this and so much for that. And, you know, and unfortunately, some churches are like that too. But, you know, why are we doing it? Why are we just, you know, opening the doors? Just whatever and anybody. You know, I think that one of the reasons that we as a church here are doing this is because we want people to know we care. The church isn't here only to take. We're not here to say, you know, give me, you know, hey, what's in the plate today? You know, we're not doing that. And we don't want to be like that. You know, in fact, if you've been here any length of time, you probably can count on two or three fingers how many times I've ever brought up money, and I'm not going to do that other than just say that we aren't here to do that. I mean, yeah, there's things to fund, and you all know that, and I don't have to speak about it. And, you know, this is God's church, and I believe that He supplies the need as He sees fit. I don't have to be out there saying, you know, you better do this, you better do that. When we built this building, we didn't do that. You know, and when we started our fundraisers, it was free will offering. And who does that? You know? We realize that if God's going to build this church, if God's going to do anything in this church, it's going to be Him, not us. We're just the tools. We're just the implements. And that's all I am, is just one of His tools as well. And so we want people, especially during this Christmas time, to know that you're loved and that we care. You know, so why really is Christmas time so different? Why do we treat it so differently? We're going to look at the beginning of it. And of course, you know, we all know, you've seen it in the little sayings and such out there, that Jesus is the reason for the season. And so you can make that argument that, well, you know, but this time of the year isn't when Jesus was born. You probably can go through the historical references and all that and come up with some good arguments that He wasn't born during this time of the year. And so Christmas really isn't the time He was born. But we celebrate it the time He was born. And just like Easter. And we're not really, I mean, did He really resurrect on that day in Easter? No, probably not. But we celebrate it then. And so that's what the point that we're going to, you know, at least I'm going to make, is that it doesn't matter really when he was born exactly. This is the time we're going to celebrate it. And we celebrate it every year at this time. Now, you can also make the point that, well, you know, started out as a pagan celebration. You know, it was really not a Christian celebration. You know, they had the trees and the, you know, all this other stuff. But you know what? Christians said, we're going to make it a time of religious holiday. We're going to make it a time of worship and a time of looking at the Lord and what Jesus did in that time. So Christians changed it. And we made it into Christmas. You know, Christ, Mass, Christmas. And so there's a spirit that comes around that time, you know, especially around that time. There's a spirit within all of us as Christians, as believers. We have this, the Holy Spirit. But there's a spirit that seems to just be more strong. You know, it seems to have a greater strength during this time of year. And it moves in the hearts of all the people that kind of open their hearts up to that spirit. And we know the Spirit is the Holy Spirit because it's a spirit of love. You see, there was no love really in the world before Christ. I mean, you can make the argument, oh yeah, there was. People got married and, you know, they loved each other. And, oh yeah, there was. But there wasn't a love that was understood before Christ, because the love that Jesus brought is an unconditional love. He taught us about God's real love, that God is love. You know, in the Old Testament, you don't see a lot of illustrations about God is love. You know, he loved his people, the Israelites, and brought them through a lot of things. But you don't hear a lot about it. But after Christ, you see an awful lot about love. 1 John, the whole letter talks about love. God's love. Christ's love. That he gave himself first for us. That's true love. Giving your life for someone else. And so when Jesus was born, love came into the world as well. And that spirit, it was only once in a while came upon people in the Old Testament, now would indwell people. Something very different than what the Holy Spirit did previous to when Christ died and rose again. So there's a spirit, and it represents the love that Jesus brought into this world. Remember, you'll be just like the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, I want us to look at 1773 in your pew Bibles. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22. Galatians 5:22, 1773 in your pew Bibles, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit." The fruit of the Spirit, capitalized Spirit, Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here we see that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is number one, love, also joy, also peace. What are the things that we celebrate so much at Christmas time? Love, joy, peace. And this is the Spirit that brings that into Christmas time. The Spirit of God. It's a Spirit that people don't understand it in the world. They think, oh, you know, it's great to have the love and the joy and the peace, you know, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and all those other kinds of things. And we want to celebrate it, you know, and just be a part of it. You know, all the people want to be a part of it. And yet, they don't understand that it's the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit. We understand that it is. And so this fruit of the Spirit only comes through the Holy Spirit. Now, it says in the following self-control, it says, against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature and with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking each and envying each other. So we're to keep pure minds, pure hearts, living according to the Spirit. Now that's impossible for the world to do. They can experience the love and the peace and the joy during the Christmas time and during the time where they are a little more open to the Holy Spirit. But normally during the year, do you see it? You know, people are just mindless, running from job to home to this thing and that thing. They don't seem to have any purpose. In fact, that's why people seem to lose hope. It's because they work and work and work. And just like Ecclesiastes, when Solomon wrote that, you know, it's all vanity. We go to work, we go home, we get enough food to eat, and then what's the point? He said the wicked do the same things, and the same fate befalls both the wicked and the righteous. Isn't that true? And we fall to death when the time comes. We all die. So what's the difference? Well, of course, the difference is having the Spirit of God, believing in Jesus as your Savior, and having the Holy Spirit gives you eternal life, unlike those who have not. You know, last week I mentioned that those who do not have Christ will experience an eternity separated from God. The Lord called it hell. It's a place of torment. Now, I don't know, but I don't think I want that. I mean, people in this world, they make jokes about it. But none of us want that. None of us would want any of our, even our enemies, we wouldn't want them to suffer eternity separated from God. And so there's a spirit within us. And I want us to go to the next scripture now, 2 Timothy 18:10. In your pew Bibles, 18:10. We're going to be there a little bit longer. 2 Timothy, make sure you're in 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. Starting in verse 7. 18:10 in the pew Bible. 2 Timothy, verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. You see, again, here we're told it's a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline. You know, we're not controlled by the world. We're not controlled by the things of this world. Now, before Christ, yes, we were. You know, before I knew Christ, I did whatever I wanted to do. I did whatever wave of anything came along. Hey, come on, let's do this. Yeah, all right, I'm in. But when Christ entered my life, I had this wisdom, this evaluation, this discernment. And when somebody said, hey, come on, let's do this, I went, I don't think that'd be a good thing to do. I don't think I'm going to join in with that. A few times it saved me from a lot of grief. You know, but the world doesn't have that. They don't have that self-control. They don't have that discipline. They don't have that power. And so, during this time of the year, however, their eyes are opening. People out there in the world, they're all going, wow, this is such a great time of the year. Why can't we have this all year long? Yeah, you can. I'm here to tell you. You can have it. You know, the scripture continues in verse 8. It says, do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. And what I want to point out is that we have an obligation. We have that spirit of love. We have that spirit of power. We have that wisdom, that understanding. And we're supposed to pass it on. It says here, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord. You know, when I hear this so often, I see people who they've gone to see a movie, or they've gone to see a concert or a program or whatever, and they come back and they're telling everybody. Man, you won't believe what I thought. Boy, it was this, and it was so great, and then, you know, that happened, and this happened, and you're going, wow. Wouldn't it be great if, as Christians, we had that same excitement? That we would go out into the world and we'd say, man, you wouldn't believe it. And then everybody would be going, oh, man, tell me, what? And we tell them. And of course you're going to get the reactions of, oh, that? You're one of those Jesus freaks? You know, if I saw a movie, and I've seen this, even if somebody says, oh, I'm not really into science fiction, you tell them anyways. You know, Star Wars is coming out, right? And everybody's like, everywhere. Star Wars. You can't go into the store without seeing Star Wars stuff. And the commercials on TV and talk shows and everything else. They have Star Wars. And everything else going on in Star Wars. And now Harrison Ford is back in the limelight again. You know, and all this stuff. And you know, I imagine when they do Star Wars 10, that there'll be, you know, Han Solo. I'm coming! You know, that kind of thing. I don't know. Everybody's excited about it, though. They say, man, Star Wars! I love it! And somebody says, well, I'm not really into it. So what? I don't care! You know? People, it wouldn't it be great if we as Christians, believers in Christ, who have the greatest story ever, Jesus comes to the manger in Bethlehem and is born. Love enters the world. And it's Christmas time. We can enjoy and celebrate it. And yeah, we give gifts to one another, but that's not the point. It's the love and the joy and the peace and that family and getting together and time off from work and everybody gets together and we all enjoy each other's company. And we can share stories and we can talk about, you know, all the things that we've missed from each other. And then the greatest story of all, that Jesus didn't come just to be born of a manger and die at old age. He came and died on the cross for us. That's what communion's all about. He gave his body and died so that we could have eternal life. All he asks is for us to believe. You know, Satan wants to change it all. He wants to make it into happy holidays. Xmas, which I found out now that it was a secret sign, X for Christ. But then you get the cards and they're all saying season's greetings. How useless. You know, we want to keep Christ in Christmas. And we as Christians need to be bold. We need to go out there. You know, if somebody says season's greetings or happy holidays, we say Merry Christmas to you. Let's celebrate Christ. Let's be excited about this time of year. Let's be excited about our salvation, about what He has done, giving us eternal life. You know, I enjoy this time of year. I enjoy this life. But I'm going to enjoy heaven all the more. Eternity. No more sorrow. No more death. No more suffering in His presence for eternity. We can celebrate Christmas for eternity. We can celebrate God's love with God on the throne right in front of us. Wow. I mean, He's created it for us to enjoy. So do you believe? Can you feel that love in this season? If you do, share it. I want us to turn our attention to communion, and that's what we're here for too, is it's remembrance of Jesus. And I want us to take a moment and just have a word of prayer as we prepare our hearts for communion. Father, we do come before You and thank You for this Christmas time. We thank You that it brings us an excitement. Lord, I pray that we might have that excitement all year long. Not just Christmas time, but all year long. That we would share about our faith. That we would share to people that we're saved. That You've given us eternal life. How great it is. Lord, we commit this time in Your hands. We pray that You cleanse our hearts from all unrighteousness, from all the things that we've done through the week that has not been focused on You. Things where, thoughts and things that have come before us that have drawn us away from You. Lord, forgive us our trespasses. Lord, we ask now that You would fill us with Your Spirit. Lord, that as we take the bread and the cup, that it reminds us how great salvation is. We ask now that You bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.